So welcome everyone. Almost anybody found a way to one of the workshops, so thank you all for being here. As I said, my name is Devin, and this is actually the first speechwriter conference I'm attending. I was here yesterday as well for some of the workshops, and I have to say that I learned a lot already, so I hope that I'm able to give some of that back today. This is a session about AI, but we're not going to start with AI. Because like I just said, it's not about the tool, but sort of what it can bring you. So what I want to start with, we don't have time for like all personal introductions because the group is way too big, is with something that might be very simple, but I do need your help. So the first thing I want to know are, what are the things about your work that you love doing the most? Sort of what's your speechwriters you stick to doing speechwriting for a reason. So can you tell me what the things are that you love so much about your job?
I love research.
Research, you love research.
Yeah.
Question to the rest of the group. Does everyone here love the research or? No. Okay, good that you're sitting together all night. Okay, let's first see if this is something that we can resolve by right away. How do you normally do your research? What's your process?
Online or books.
So it's like reading a lot, getting all the sources that you can find.
Calling people,
I find that it's fun. And then basically like soaking up everything you can soak up.
I love it.
You love learning about new stuff. Mr. Neighbor, what's the reason why you're like, nah, not my cup of tea?
It's often tedious, I think, and it's difficult. But what I like more is actually kind of the wordsmith part of the job.
Yes.
Coming up with great phrases, great arguments, it's great being able to craft a really nice paragraph, punchline.
You feel what's happening in the room, everything's like, yeah. I don't know if there are many crowds where you would get this response with, that's great about the conference. So am I correct if I say that for you, you understand the importance of the research, but it's more a prerequisite to be able to do like the art of speech writing than, cool. And if we talk about like the art and the wordsmith aspect of speech writing, are there specific elements? So you start with a white sheet of paper and you start, is that already the stuff you like? Or is it like, okay, once I have a first version or a first draft and then I can really like add my magic, that's what I like. Or do you like the second? Okay. So for now, I'm going to call it like the fine tuning or the nuances and the sort of second layer and all around it. Are there any other aspects that you think are missing that you really like in your job? Yeah?
I'm not speech writing is part of my job, so I'm communications, but I really like actually the people-to-people interaction. So really actually just the side where you have to speak to other people. So
And then the other people, are they the speakers that you're preparing for, or are they people that you speak during research or all
I
of
think
it?
All of it, the fact that it's quite a social profession.
Cool. So for now, I'm just
not sure about speech writing by itself, but.
No, actually, so what we heard from a lot of people also yesterday is that there's a lot of interaction to get from a vague idea to research to a concept to a speaker knowing that. So I think the interaction is definitely a part of it. Anything else that we're missing?
Yes.
Yes.
Really finding the main question.
Main question.
Finding an answer to it. Because mostly, in my case, you get a subject and a public and where it is and what time. But it's really good to find, after all this research and your reading and your talking, to find it, what is the main question?
Yeah, so let's say...
And then start the wordsmithing with mixing all these ingredients to something which is really eatable.
Yeah, it's sort of so the main question, main message, red line of the speech.
Red line, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get answers. And the answers on that question can be different and have different colors also.
And to zoom in on this, is the part of the work that you like the moment when you found what the main question is, or do you also like the process of finding the main question?
No, the research and finding and being with Marco.
Yeah.
The Miss vocal part is the most.
It's like a big part of the charm.
Part of the thing, and then writing that's quite hard work. But the research is really having fun and playing and.
Okay. Cool. Cool. And then if I'm missing anything, let me know. If not, and we go to the other side, this doesn't have to be the stuff that you dread doing, but more like the stuff that you either think, I know it needs to happen, but I want to spend as little time on it as possible so I can do more of this, or the stuff where you say, the time-wise it's fine, but it would just be great if I don't have to think about it that much, or if it could solve a certain hurdle. Like, what are a few of the obstacles or challenges that you're facing?
So get your text right up, and all these policy makers fix. We heard it earlier this morning, all these people who are readers too, and find something, have an opinion about the text, and put some sentences and also mistakes in your text. But it's really your job to get a whole text, which is a composition.
Yeah. So sort of everything that's bound to be part of that editing process can be very frustrating, from people not doing what you said to people making their own adjustments, and then...
Sometimes it's going quite well, but sometimes it can be hard, and it can really be a fight.
Okay. Anyone, anything else? Yeah?
Yeah, actually I dread my own personal editing work. because after a certain time I get fed up with the text, but I know it still needs editing and I can still make it better, and I also make some stupid spelling mistakes, some stupid grammar mistakes, and then I love when other people and other people can have a look
editing,
at it.
Yeah,
in Dutch we call it document blind, and it would translate to something like blind for your own document. You've been staring at it for such a long time that you don't see anything anymore. So you might even have the same word after each other twice, but it doesn't matter how often you reread it, you just don't see it anymore. And if you then say, like, that part of the editing process, is it then always like the final details and nuances, the small stuff, or is it also other stuff in that editing process?
It's fine details, and it's also the maybe 10 to 20% editing of the sentences just to make them better. Just to see, oh, that's actually a pretty ugly word I used there, or that's pretty, civil servant like.
Very civil servant, yeah.
Policy speak.
Yeah. And then, is it finding what the words are that need some like finalizing, or is it I do find them, but then coming up with the right one and the right solution is sort of is the struggle, or is it both?
No, it's finding them. It's seeing them.
Seeing it.
For me.
Okay, that's clear. Anything else? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have trouble with. I like nice quotes or poets or whatever. But I don't know all of them, and I don't want to tread on, the highways everybody walks on. I want the other ways.
Yeah.
But I don't know all the books, and I don't know all the poets, and I don't know all the quotes, so I have a hard time finding the right one for that speech.
Yes.
And it's not used too many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can agree. I can understand. Okay, good. We're just gonna fulfill the list, and then we're gonna zoom in. So I just want to make sure there's nothing that someone wants to add that hasn't been added. Anything else? No?
Okay. Too strict.
and I don't like overtime. Okay, let's see how we can fix that. So for like the crux of this workshop is AI is not the answer to all of it. But it can help you in some regards and some aspects, and it can be very useful there if you know how to use it. But before we zoom in on specific parts and see how you can get some help, I want to tell you a bit about my AI background, which is not really an AI background. So how it started, for the last, 10 years, I've been an educator and public speaking coach. So I've helped people prepare presentations, and that's both politicians and business professionals, but also high school students, and teach teachers how to teach that in class. And then last year, it's about a year ago, I was at a conference in Lisbon called the Web Summit, and it was this big tech conference with a lot of great speakers, and Chris Anderson was there, so the curator of TED. So I thought, oh great, let's go there. And then I had a great time, and I was on a plane back, and we were all wearing those conference bracelets that every participant gets. It's sort of like the necklace you have, but then a bracelet. And then I sat down, and there was like this man sitting next to me, and we didn't meet during the conference. And then a conversation started. Can you sort of tell them how it went?
Yeah, I can. So I'm Victor. I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. So out of that respect, I've been sort of presenting and pitching to investors or selling a business or a solution to a customer, etc. And during the conference, I was like, it was all about AI. So I got like sort of also enthusiastic, like how can I utilize this? And I was like, every time I've been presenting, my struggle was always like to actually think about what I'm going to say. I got sort of confidence when I know what to say, I could deliver it, but the preparation process was always like a big hassle for me. So I always wished to have like a sort of a speechwriter on my side, you know, to prepare me. So during the conference, I felt like, hey, what if AI could solve that? So could solve that for people like me. And after the whole week, networking, I basically stepped into the plane. I was like totally exhausted, but I thought, okay, I was also a bit of in a networking mode. Give a hand to my neighbor. Hi, neighbor. I'm Victor. Who are you? I'm Devin. And I said, oh, that's. And then I said, okay, Devin, what do you do? No, just explain. I said, hey, that's interesting. I just had an idea around this. And that's how we started talking about it.
And what you then also told me is you worked with a speechwriter once, right?
Yes. When I was in Canada, I didn't need to do a Pechikucha presentation, right? So it's like 20 slides, 20 seconds on an audience of 700, 800 people or something. So big, like for me, it was very, anxiety high. But then my colleague actually said, hey, I love always to be a speechwriter. Can I be your speechwriter? So I said, of course. And then I could fully focus on my delivery instead of like the whole preparation process. And so I experienced how cool it is to have somebody as a speechwriter on your side.
Yeah, and I think where we connected, my first response was a very skeptical one. So when he said this, I said, this is never going to happen. Because one of my most important traits is being there right next to someone and telling them that they're doing well, so you build up the comfort and they can do it on their own. But then one of the other things that I was thinking while we were doing that is that a problem with my personal job as a coach is that people like coaching, but then you're gone and they have a new problem and you're not there to help them out anymore. And there are many people who can simply not afford it, who cannot pay to have a speechwriter for every speech or a coach for every speech. And that's when we thought, okay, is there a way to sort of democratize access to this kind of help so that not only our ministers or whoever can use it, but that everyone who needs to share a message can get help to get the best version of that message out. And that's actually when, for me, the entire AI journey started, and to see, is there a way to like scale this or to help people out or whatever. And I'll tell you a bit more about that later. But a lot of these questions were questions that I then also had, like, how good is AI in writing speeches? And what I found at this moment is, if you try to replace yourself with AI, it's doing a horrible job. Because if you say, can you now write a speech? Or not, horrible is not the right word, because it's pretty cool what it can do with limited instructions. But if you say, can you write a speech for me? Then you don't get the speech that you can send to the minister or whoever and give that speech right away. But if you use your knowledge to ask specific questions that you need help with, it suddenly becomes very good at helping you out. And I think one of the things that it's already very good in is, for example, this part. So for a lot of the stuff, we're just going to do a quick demo. And as it goes with like presentations like these, I haven't tried it out at all. So it could be the case that I'm now going to say, this is going to be awesome. And then we look at it and we're like, nah, it's not working. Could be. We're going to see how it goes. And I'm now using ChatGPT for it, but there are many other programs and things we could use.
Why is that?
So I think one of the reasons is they have a huge team, and the advantage of that is that they have updates very often. So with this pro version, you don't just have the normal ChatGPT, but one of the other things that you can do is, if I click here, you can upload documents. So that's another thing I wanted to say. If you have a lot of research documents and you want to know the main findings, but you don't want to read 1,000 pages and you do want to get the summaries, you can upload the documents and get a summary of the documents. Like, and there's a lot of other stuff we do. I also don't think it's perfect. That's why we're building like just our own tool where we build something new. But I also don't want to start with saying, oh, we built something, I want to show it to you. So yeah, so now, but it's all free, by the way, for now. But I don't want to Now it's still promoting, it's not the goal. But it's just because this is where I have a membership so I can show you. Let's start with looking for quotes. So can you paint a scenario? Could be of a real speech that you've written or something else, like something that we want to quote for. Sorry, fear my 4th of May, and then, okay, but this is, okay, this, I think this is already where it gets interesting. So if we say, I'm a speech writer, writing a speech for whom?
Mayor.
For the mayor of?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
We don't work there, though.
No, that's good. It's a speech for
Memorial Day,
Remembrance Day, Memorial Day, and I need quotes. So, this is what we often do. And what then happens is I expect that it's gonna load and give us some quotes. But when I did this, I was still in my skeptical mode. You see, this is the live demos. And there were a few problems that arose, and I'm curious if any one of you had the same. What are some of the things that sometimes happen if we ask these type of questions? It's too broad, yes. And then what happens? What's the result of that? The answers are really broad. Okay, there you go.
Oh.
And a thing that a lot of people are afraid of with AI is that it's so-called hallucinates. Mm-hmm. So what I had the first time I did this, I had a quote and I thought, this is an amazing quote. I didn't know this person said this. And then I was Googling it and I couldn't find the quote anywhere. It was just giving me the quote. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds like a problem. So one of the things I then learned to add was just say, okay, do the same, but only give quotes of which you know they have actually been used. Which sounds like a very logical thing, but for the machine, it wasn't per se, yeah.
Couldn't you just pick a quote you like and then ask what the source is of the quote?
It's all that's also an option, yeah, sure. But one of the other things that's happening, and I think that in terms of mindset, that's just interesting. We sometimes treat this as a magic box instead of a junior assistant that we would normally have in our office. So if you would brief your junior assistant about the help you need with your speech, would you then say, I need a speech for our mayor for Memorial Day. Good luck. That's probably not how you would brief it, right? So what are elements that we would give, yeah?
Usually, I think what I look for is a quote that illustrates, you know, the importance of
something specific, right?
Criminal justice for achieving peace.
Yes.
Something like this, you know, or that's usually the type of kind of task that I had before me.
Yeah.
And it's true that this, I mean, in a way, if the AI can come up with actually reasonable quotes in a split second. Whereas an intern would take probably a whole day to find the sentence and want to quote it.
And I think now you're actually scratching the surface of something that's where it's interesting for you as speech writers. It is, okay, now I have a speech and I have one specific element that I want to quote for.
Yeah, because I write speeches on specific subjects.
Yeah.
So when I was thinking about this, I was looking for a quote or a short poem about children playing outside and the joy of playing outside.
Okay.
For children, especially.
For children, and what was the rest of the context of the speech?
It was about people who were honored for their, they build a communal playground in their community. And they went on and kept it going for 50 years and they were honored for it.
Okay.
So I wanted to capture the joy it gives children to be able to play outside with other children, even when there's limited resources.
Okay. And then one more thing. if we like think about what kind of quote one, do you have any other prerequisites? So are you like, I don't care if it's an Australian or an American quote, or does it need to be Dutch? What?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so what are other things?
Well, I wanted, let me start, I found a quote, so. But I wanted a Dutch, from a Dutch person.
Okay.
So there will be no difficulty understanding the quote.
Okay, anything else, or that's it?
That's it.
That's it. I'm curious. I don't know if it's going to find it, but we'll see.
Probably not.
What's interesting, and that's about like all the different levels and things you could do, I think for the things you mentioned, it's also very interesting, because given that you can now, for example, also upload documents, and I'll show that later, we're just going to see if it comes up with one. Okay, it's a good try. Maybe it's not what we want exactly, but it's a good try. I like to think of AI not as just the thing that produces text, but something that you can use for many purposes. So given that you can also upload text or documents, you can also upload a document and then give it very specific tasks. And the more specific you are, the better it works. So if you say, can you check my speech and help me refine it, you have a problem, because it can rewrite the entire speech and do something completely different. If you upload it and you say, can you just check this for spelling errors and grammar mistakes and adjust those and then give me a list of the things you've changed, then it's actually pretty good at doing that. And then it does a great job. Yeah?
I thought if you uploaded something in the system, then it became public and you don't want your speech to become public.
Yes. And that's a good question. That's one of the like advantages of like the pro account. You can just toggle off that they can use it for training purposes. Then it's yours. Like the only thing, and it's something extra other about AI that's interesting. Sure, it's still on another server, so it's still on the server of that company. But that's sort of in the same way as that your emails are also not on your computer, right? Your emails are also on a server somewhere. So in the same way that a complete AI company can be hacked and they have data, an email server can be hacked and they have data, but it's not like it goes into the system and next time I type in, I want to write a speech for the mayor of Amsterdam, someone says, oh, we have someone else who did that. Here's the speech for the mayor of Amsterdam. That's not what's happening. Just,
it's also, like, I work for the British government.
Yeah.
Access ChatGPT services.
No, and so the other thing is, but that might be too technical, so I'm just saying this and then you can check it out later or ask questions later. That's why half of the company is now actually owned by Microsoft. And what Microsoft is doing is they have an environment that a lot of governments use for their entire IT infrastructure. So where they build all their databases, where they use their email from, everything. And now they added the technique behind ChatGPT in that same system, so that all companies who use Microsoft can use it there on their own server. That's, for example, what KPN is doing in the Netherlands, what all these big companies are doing. So they're not doing that, but they have like their own system where it's built in the end. But one of the things you see is the more specific you are, the better results you're going to get. And that also means that if you say, I want you to look for abstract industry terms that a general audience might not understand, it's really good at scanning that. And then say, oh, and now for every sentence, give me four alternatives that would be more illustrative. That's also something it does really well. So as long as you prompt it with your specific questions rather than a broad, vague statement, it's actually a great partner to help you out. And that's also how I use it, because it just completely reduces the time I need to make something. Often I make the first version myself, because then it's in line with the language that I like to use, and then you use it to help you edit and adjust and all of that. So that's I think, pretty interesting. Time really flies, because you already need to be back in 15 minutes, which is like very short. So I'm gonna show you something else, but I'm also curious to already hear some questions at this point. So are there already questions right now? Yeah.
So I haven't used it yet, but I'm still a bit sort of worried about the reliability. So Erasmus, we know, you can check that fairly quickly. But if it gives you something that's totally unfamiliar, so that's interesting. How many sort of prompts would I do to be?
That's a great question.
Actually,
That's a great question. It's hard to give the exact number, because the thing is, if you say where did you get it from, it's not per se able to give you a website. What it is able to do with that pro version is you have another option where it actually scans the internet. So what you can do in that version is you take the quote, you paste it there, and then you can say, can you search the internet for me to see if you can find this quote anywhere? And then if it gives you a source, it gives you the actual link to the page, and then you can click on that link. So you can also use it in that way to sort of be your Google buddy and Google it for you because you're not sure about the answer.
And alternatively, you can just Google the quote, right? To see.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Why not use Google?
Yeah.
Google is, I think.
To check it.
Yeah,
you can. You can definitely do it. Like the only thing, if you let this one do it, is that it you can continue with writing the rest of your speech while it's checking it, and then it gets back to you. That's the only thing. But otherwise, yes, sure, you can use Google.
I did it once. I saw a beautiful quote, and I asked, "Where did you get it from?" And then it said, "Oh, we're actually really, really sorry.
yeah,
this quote wasn't. It cannot be attributed to this and this writer." So I asked, okay, who is it really from? Oh, we're really sorry. Actually, nobody ever used it.
But exactly. And this is what you need to be aware of. And this is also the problem. I used to teach debate. And this is like an amazing 12-year-old debater. Namely, it can convince you of everything, but it doesn't mean that that person is right. And ChatGPT can convince you of a lot, but it doesn't say anything about how right it actually is.
Oh, actually, it was even worse. It gave the source. It says this in this writer, it was Gerard Reven, wrote this in his diary. So then I was wanting to look it up, so I was looking in the library where is his diary, and I found out, well, Gerard Reven didn't publish any diaries. So,
yeah, so that's what you need to be very careful with, yes. Yeah,
it's ChatGPT as good in Dutch or another language.
I wouldn't say as good, but it is good. It's very good, and it's very advanced.
And does it uses English information and translates it, or does it only uses?
It has all sources in it, but this is again a thing. It's very small stuff that matters. So, for example, if you say, "Can you give me this text?" and you give an English text in Dutch, it translates it. If you say, "Can you make a native version of this text?" it writes a native version without sounding translated. So those are like all kind of small things. What you can also do, and that's what I like, is sometimes I want a certain result, and then I ask it to write the prompt that I need to input into ChatGPT to get that result. So that I say, okay, I need your help with writing a speech. What kind of prompt do I need to give you to help me write a speech? And then it says, oh, then I need to do these three things, and you need to help me with this and that. And then, so you sort of use ChatGPT to know how to instruct ChatGPT. It's a sort of metaverse thing, but it works very well. And I want to do a quick live demo of what we built so far, and I'm going to use a training example that we were in yesterday. Because we were in a training, and many people said, a problem I have as a speechwriter is that it's hard to convince the person I'm writing for that this specific part is very important. So for example, let's say we're going to do a test case where we say you added an analogy somewhere, and the person wants to get rid of the analogy. Let's say that's what we're doing. I'm just going to give you a quick demo. Again, we didn't test this, so I have no clue how it's going to go, but I feel like it's pretty exciting. So one of the things that I found is that sometimes it's hard to know what you need to do with ChatGPT. So we first built something that actually starts a conversation with you. So I'm going to say, I need to convince my boss to not use PowerPoint slides, but instead the speech I wrote. This is a scenario that we talked about a lot yesterday. So what it then does is it keeps asking you questions to get some more input. So what are the main reasons and motivations behind the pitch? So what are reasons why we want him or her to use our speech instead of the slides?
Slides distract.
Slides are distracting. Cool. Anything else?
They're considered boring.
Okay, they're boring and distracting. Fine. Yeah, so what is it? Shall we say that they are scared or of messing up or something like that? Or okay. Let's see. Okay, fears using PowerPoint slides and presentation, that's sort of the same. Let's say,
not really wanting to help you very
much. No. Yeah, but the good thing is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't care. It just how many question 1, 2, 3. So what it's now doing, and this is I think this is interesting because it's something we talked about a lot. It's not just giving you a speech right away. Instead, it's saying, okay, let's look for a structure together that we can use to write a pitch in the first place. So it could be this structure. You can also give it another try, and then at some point you say, okay, let's see. Let's make a first draft and see how it goes. So then it will start, create a draft. This also works in Dutch, by the way, in all languages you input. Sorry?
Oh.
And the fun thing is, for me, this is as a public speaking coach, but I think for you as speech writers as well, we shouldn't treat AI as if it's giving perfect final products right away. So if I ask you for your thoughts, I also don't get a perfect speech right away, right? And also this, we're not pretending that this is a perfect speech. So what we wanted to do, and I'm just curious to hear your feedback later, is to build something that makes it easier to edit stuff and to work with it. So that one of the things that you can do is just type in here and make changes. But something else that you could do is that you just say, okay, I really want to get an analogy into this part, and I have no idea what kind of analogy it could be. And then it says, okay, here are some suggestions. You like this, you don't like it, what do you want to do with it? And another thing that I found interesting, and I added as a public speaking coach, is that some people are really bad with written out text. Some people are great. We saw the Trump video, right? You had Trump before written out text and then Trump after, and it worked completely different. So something that we now added was that you can also with one click just get like the bullet point version of the exact same text. So that it's like, okay, now you have all the main points, now you put it into bullet points, and then if you want to know if the bullet points are actually working out, you see the fully outwritten text below and the bullet points above, and then like you can play around with it. So some of the things that we're now trying to do is like have that same technique as ChatGPT has, but then sort of build a product around it that you can use.
What was this called, this service?
It's called Verbal. I didn't say that, you're right. It's called Verbal, which is V-E-R-B-L-E.
Is it free or paid?
Right now it's free, so we built it and we started in March and we launched the first version in July and we're now just like testing it out with all kinds of people. So for now it's completely free. It's interesting, it's been used in over 120 countries so far and we did never expect that, so that's cool. And I'll show you the website. And I'm just very curious, both for us, but also in general, for a last 5 minute discussion, how do you feel about the role of AI in general within your work field? Because I know that there are some people that are like, I don't like it at all. Others say, I'm afraid that it's coming for my job. And again, others say, no, you will never replace me. I can just do my job better. I know that there are a lot of different stances. And I'm just curious for you, like how do you feel about that?
Actually, I'm quite positive.
Yeah?
Because it's going to help us in a world where there's so much information that we're only at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think one of the main things for writers, journalists, speech writers is to find the right information, so information of quite a high quality.
Yeah.
AI can help you with that kind of things as your assistant.
And out of curiosity, when it's about finding information, is it then most often external information or is it also internal information that like a lot has been done, a lot of stories have been told?
Both.
Okay, that's very interesting.
For me, I never saw IA as an as a possibility because my speeches are about people who getting a royal award or a government award, and there's a lot of personal. There are a recommendation letter of recommendations from the various people. And I read them, but they're confidential, so I never ever upload them in anything.
Yeah.
So I have always been hesitant to use.
Yeah.
But I can see the advantages of it. I just.
No, but I think this is a very important concern, namely just being careful with your data in general. And I think for a lot of organizations, until it reaches the point where it is as trustworthy as telling it to your colleague. You know, because sometimes you write these stories in emails. If it has that level of security, it might be interesting to use. So if it's just from your organization and within your organization, then it might be a different story. But that's different from putting it just in a general open server and seeing what happens. I get that.
And maybe in your case, you could ask for a quote, a suggestion for a quote, but not the entire.
Right, yeah.
And the other thing I think is people are unpredictable. And sometimes a speech that wouldn't be a typical speech where someone would say, oh, that would really be a good speech, could work in certain occasions or could work with some people because we don't like everything. It has to be perfect.
Exactly.
Everything has to be. And I think AI will give the best middle way or something,
mm-hmm.
A general thing, but as a human you can add little
quirks. Yeah, but what I like about that, and I think that's the thing that I learned over the months, and maybe that's useful for you as well, I don't know, is if you put AI in the driving seat and you're like, okay, this is the final decision, this is what they do, it's not that useful. If you're in a driving seat and the AI is actually in the sort of passenger seat helping you out, doing what you do, giving you the directions when you ask it to give the directions, then it's actually very useful. So I would also, if I were you, see it in that way. Like, how can I use it? I'm a one person speech writing team, and it would have been so nice if I would have a colleague to spar with. Oh, but that's something that I could now try to do in this way, or whatever. So, like, if you see it in that way, that might be interesting. Yeah.
Is Verbal your own version of ChatGPT, but more catered to speech
yes.
writers, so it can replace it for speech writers?
For speech writers, yes.
It's not really catered to, I have to say, specifically to speech writers at all. It's mostly catered to users, like who need to speech, right? So it can be myself.
Now,
Victor,
I mean, with the speech writer, somebody who writes.
Yeah. Yes.
So I have my support here. If I want to pitch an idea or pitch a business to the investor, I have my support system in Verbal helping me.
At that moment, you become a speech writer.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So in that sense, it makes sure that we can not all be speech writers, but in a sense, get some help.
Do you think it's capable of being funny?
That's one of the things it struggles with most at the moment, but what I do truly believe, sort of from my public speaking coach background, is if a speaker feels very comfortable about their speech, it's easier to be funny in the moment. So if someone feels very well prepared and is like, I'm stoked, I want to try it, I want to give this speech, they tend to be funnier. And with the right instructions, it's okay. But the same thing again, if you say, add a joke, it's horrible. It's horrible. But it's the same if I put you on the spot right now and I said, can you tell a joke? Then maybe you're very funny, but it's probably going to be an awkward joke. But if you're like, okay, and now do this and this and do that and that, here are four examples of jokes I like in a speech. Can you give me something like that? It's pretty, I know people for Dutch radio stations who actually use, write their jokes with it and make the programs like that. So, yeah, in general, right?
In general.
Since you're here as speech writers right now, and we have this list, like for us, this is just the first version, we're working on this. If we had to add one or two things of which you think that would make it like way more valuable, if it's capable of doing that, then do you have any ideas what that could be? That's just out of curiosity. Tough question.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
something to think about, something to talk about over drinks.
Let's say that I could upload a draft of my speech, and if the app could point out potential pitfalls in the speech,
yes.
For instance, like where you have reputational, like risk of reputational damage or something like that, or this could be a very dangerous joke to make or something like that. That could be maybe a sort of.
And would you want to be able to yourself say what you wanted to check on, or should that sort of be predetermined, or do you say, okay, I think reputation management is important. That's something it should be able to check for.
Well, I suppose another kind of next level could be, what is your prediction as to how this would be received by an audience consisting of, I don't know, lawyers from Malaysia or suicide activists from Uganda or civil servants from Finland or something like that.
Cool. Yeah, so this is the part where I feel that it's still really tricky to see, but it's a great suggestion. I think the first one is actually very doable in the end, to just upload stuff and get. Thanks a lot.